morning. My name is Rob Bennett. I'm the author of a book entitled Passion Saving, The Path to Plentiful Free Time and Soul-Satisfying Work. I'm also the publisher of the PassionSaving.com website, and I'm working on a second book entitled Investing for Humans, How to Get What Works on Paper to Work in Real Life. This is podcast number 111. I'm recording it on Monday, March 16th, 2009. The PE10 level today is 12. That's a little below fair value. Stocks purchased at today's prices offer a strong long-term value proposition. The music for the podcast is by Kevin McLeod at the Incompetech.com website. The title of this particular selection is Hot Swing. The title of the podcast is You've Concluded That the Stock Market is Corrupt. Should you get out? There's a lot of people talking about corruption in the stock market this weekend and this morning. I think it's a great sign. I think it's a really good sign. I talked in a recent podcast about the five stages of grief. And we've gone through denial, people saying, oh, maybe we'll get our money back. And we've gone through anger, you know, let's hang Bernie Madoff up by a tree. And we've been going lately through negotiation. I participated on a thread where personal finance bloggers were asking me questions about how stock investing works in the real world so that they could run blog entries of their own and learn about the subject and help their readers. And the owner came in and said, oh, we can't be letting people know the truth about stock investing. I've written about passive investing at my site. This is embarrassing. I've got to cover this up. I've got to stop this. Took the whole thread down. But there was a lot of negotiation going on in that thread. People saying, well, yes, you know, maybe stock investing doesn't work quite the way, you know, we've been thinking it did. But, you know, we don't really have to tell people that the experts that we all know and love have been telling people the wrong safe withdrawal rate for years, do we? Do we have to tell people that we caused millions of busted retirements by reporting numbers that were wrong, numbers we could have checked on our own? It would have taken 15 minutes. The historical data is public information, and we could have checked, and we could have got it right on our blogs and our websites, but we just didn't bother because we were emotionally invested in stocks, and we didn't want to know that the numbers were wrong. We don't have to tell that, do we, Rob? Well, yes, I think we probably should tell that, actually, because that actually is part of the story. You see, saying that we have a corrupt stock market, what's the stock market made up of? It's made up of people. That's what a market is. A market is a collection of people. If the stock market is corrupt, what are we really saying? We are saying people are corrupt. We're saying people are corrupt. And what are we? We're peoples. We're peoples. We're saying we are corrupt. That's the secret. That's the ticket. We are corrupt. Oh, Rob, now I'm depressed. Well, good. If your response is, now I'm depressed, you see, that's good. Sounds bad. I know that word depression scares us. It sounds bad. But go back to your five stages of grief. Denial, anger, negotiation. That's where we are today. Next comes depression. A natural time for depression to pop up is when we all acknowledge that we are corrupt. That's why the stock market is corrupt. We are corrupt. And we're naturally going to go into depression when we start to seriously entertain that idea. And that's good. Everything you think is bad is good, and everything you think is good is bad. It's all mixed up in Investo world. Why is depression good? Because we have to go through the five stages. The fifth stage is acceptance. The fifth stage is when we acknowledge that we have destroyed years of work product. We have destroyed our retirements. We have destroyed our businesses. We have destroyed our homes. We have destroyed our friendships. We've destroyed our board communities. We've destroyed our hopes for financial freedom. So we have to go to the depression. If you don't go to depression, you never get depression is an honest, natural, inevitable consequence of what we have done to ourselves over the passive investing era. So we have to get to depression. The question is not, are we going to get depressed or not? Of course we're going to get depressed. The question is, when are we going to get depressed? Are we going to get depressed in March of 2009? Which means we can come out of the depression by summer of 2009 and start putting things back together. And when we start putting things back together, we will find that all the wonderful things about our economy and about us are still true. We're still a hardworking people. We're still a good people. We're still a kind people. We're still a smart people. We still have wonderful technology. We still have a wonderful system of government. We still have, you know, some of us, at least some of us still have a few years to go before retirement. So we have years, and we have 30 years of research. There's 30 years of research showing that passive investing could never work that we have not been permitted to talk about. For 30 years now, because it would mean admitting we made a mistake. Can't ever say I was wrong. No, no, no. So, 30 years. If we go through depression, we get to acceptance. If we get to acceptance, guess what? We can all start talking about that 30 years of research. We can talk about how to invest effectively. There's no law that was ever passed that said we must invest passively. That's not a law. And guess what? Invest effectively, we can make up the losses. And I have a calculator coming up at my website that will tell you how to do that. By changing to valuation-informed indexing, the benefits are so great that you can make up most or all of what you have suffered in the great passive investing stock crash. So it can be done. But depression is part of the story, and depression comes about by being real about the hard question. So far, we haven't been real. There was a, as I say, this morning, there's just good signs everywhere you go. There was a post at Vanguard Diehards today. Oh, right on the nose. I think the poster's name Harley Huckster, something like that. Great, great, great post. Taylor Larimore, co-author of the book The Boglehead's Guide to Investing. He has a standard story about timing the market. Timing the market is, you know, passive investors say it can't be done. Rational investors say it must be done. If you don't time the market, that means you're not changing your allocation when prices go to insanely dangerous levels. How do you think that's going to work long term? So timing the market is required, but Taylor Larimore, if he were to acknowledge that, there's 30 years research showing it, but if he were to acknowledge it, it would mean acknowledging he got something wrong in his book. Oh, no. Oh, don't be a meanie, Rob. Don't point out that Taylor got something wrong in his book. Rob, you're being a meanie again. Don't be a meanie. No. Tell Taylor he got everything right. Tell him he's a gentleman and he's perfect. And sure, he will lose all his money in a stock crash. But Rob, at least you won't. No one will ever be able to say you were mean because that's only money. That doesn't matter. But if you tell him he has to fix something in his book, that would be sort of mean. That would be very, very mean. So just let Taylor lose all his money, okay? Okay, Rob. Okay. But Taylor has this standard thing, and somebody points out the fact that timing, long-term timing has always worked, and long-term timing is required for anyone who wants to have a realistic hope of investing effectively. And Taylor has a long list, I don't know, 683 quotes from quote-unquote experts saying that timing doesn't work. And of course, every one of the 683 is referring to short-term timing. And if you ask Taylor, you know, do you have any that relate to long-term timing? He says, Oh, let me show you know 683. I don't have 683 quotes on short-term timing. I have 1,549 quotes on short-term timing. Here's the longer list. That makes you feel better. That makes you feel better. Anyway, he had his standard list up there at Vanguard Diehards. And, you know, instead of getting into some stupid discussion about whether he has 683 or 1,547 or 7 kajillion, 8 billion, 9,000, 82, you know, the guy just put up a sentence that just, you know, bop, bop. He said, if I read one more time these standard, you know, he didn't use the word marketing slogans, but that's essentially what he said. If I read these marketing slogans one more time, I'm going to puke on my computer. Now, that's a guy, he's getting angry in the right direction. Instead of being angry about hearing the realities, he's getting angry about the BS. And that's the ticket. Friends and neighbors, when we all get angry about the BS, guess what happens? It changes. When we all get angry about the BS, it all comes to an end. All the pain comes to an end, because when we get angry about the BS, the people pushing the BS are going to be afraid to keep pushing it. And when they're afraid to keep pushing it, the people who have been trying for decades now to tell us the truth about stock investing are going to step forward with all they've learned over the past three decades. And when they come forward, we're all going to learn how to invest effectively, and our troubles are over. Sure, we've done economic damage that it may take decades to recover from, but so what? We can't change that. Can't change the past. We can wake up in the morning feeling better about ourselves, feeling better about our hopes for the future. And that comes from BOP, telling the Taylor Larimores of the world, you know, where they can go shove their 873 quotes about short-term timing. Information that was important and valuable, you know, in 1960 and 1970 and the early 1980s, but isn't exactly relevant to the last three decades, since the academic research came out showing that just as short-term timing never works, long-term timing always works, and that therefore passive investing can never work in the real world. So I was happy to see that. Not because I'm a meanie, not because I don't like Taylor Larimore. I like Taylor Larimore just fine. But I think Taylor Larimore would feel a whole big bunch better about himself if he stopped the nonsense. So as a friend of Taylor Larimore, I encourage more of us to, you know, bop the clown on the nose. When the clown acts like a clown, tell him he's a clown, and ask that he, you know, do a little better, that he try a little harder. Because that's how we get through an economic crisis. That's how we start to feel better about ourselves. Now I'm going to read a post from Bogleheads. The name of this thread is, Can Boglehead Tenants Survive in a Corrupt, Inept Market? The thread went up Saturday, March 14th. This is a wonderful little thread starter. Probably going to read, if not all of it, most of it. The guy's name is, it's not a recognizable name, ILAN1H, so I don't know. But great post. My enthusiasm for Boglehead principles has waned somewhat over the last year. Obviously, this may sound like pathetic capitulation to a falling market, and I can be faulted for being, quote, enthusiastic when the market was soaring. All right, that's all honest. It's a nice start. However, I can honestly say that I fully expected that the market would have ups and downs, and that I would weather every storm that came my way. Again, that sounds sincere to me. That sounds quite reasonable and realistic and fair, balanced, emotionally balanced. Also, I have read every book ever cited on this forum and more. So the guy's done his homework and poured through thousands of threads here and elsewhere. The big difference now is that I am stunned at the corruption and ineptitude that I see in the financial sector. My entire faith in the market was based on a system which, although volatile, was fundamentally sound and fair. I always had full confidence in our regulatory systems, namely Federal Reserve Board and SEC, our credit rating agencies, our banking structures, our insurance infrastructure, and even the, quote, shadow banks, which I was dimly aware of. Most of all, I had confidence in the political and executive branches, which ultimately are responsible. That's a question a lot of people are thinking about nowadays. You know, he's hinting at some important stuff here. My faith in all of these institutions has evaporated completely. I fully realize now that I was playing ball like a good little boy, but was in fact a pathetic sucker in a far larger game played by enormously fat cats. I am certainly not accusing our regulatory or credit rating agencies of also being corrupt, but I don't think that even they would deny their colossal incompetence. As of last year, I had 100% confidence in buy and hold, asset allocation, diversification, low cost, rebalancing, indexing, etc. These tenets seem prudent and logical for any U.S. investor, with the caveat that they may not work as well for an investor in Sudan's or Yemen's financial markets. My mistake is that our markets have resembled that of Yemen, and Sudan far more than the pristine investing environment which we assumed in the U.S. I am frantically looking for an alternative philosophy and may ultimately discover that there is nothing better. What a pathetic commentary that ultimately, after all this carnage, our present investment philosophy is as good as it gets. Those are powerful words. We all should. That's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful post. That's the real thing. You know, that's the real thing. He's asking an important question. I think I want to read a post that I wrote this morning. Not in response to his, in response to a question that Artie wrote. My post gets to what? It wasn't written in response, but it gets to some issues, and I may not want to read the whole thing, but let me see here. Artie had written some things about, this is at my blog, the Rich Life blog. And Artie had written some things about, you know, a lot of people are talking about, say that you buy into the valuation matters idea. You buy into valuation informed indexing, and you're looking at the PE10 level. PE10 level is 12. Excuse me. That's a fantastic PE10 level. Stocks offer a fantastic long-term value proposition. So, you know, I tell at the beginning of every podcast, I say stocks today offer a strong long-term value proposition. Now, there's some danger in that because the reality is if stocks perform this time as they have on all earlier occasions when we went to such insanely high valuation levels, we still have another price drop of about 50% ahead of us, a little bit less than 50%. So some people are saying, well, I should wait. Why go in now? And the answer is, there is no law that says we're going to see that 50% drop. We certainly have to be prepared for it. If you're not prepared for a 50% drop, you shouldn't have 10 cents in the market today because you're kidding yourself. You're living in a world of fantasy. You don't understand what happens when people like that poster realize that they've put all their retirement money into something that is corrupt. They take it out, and that quite naturally. And the only way they can ever discover it's corrupt is for them to lose most of it, because if they only lose small bits, they're going to ignore the corruption. That's what we've been seeing all these years. The corruption's been getting higher and higher and higher and higher, and our ability to ignore it has grown stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, you know, until we reached a point in May of 2002 in which a poor Hobbit reporter put up a post at Motley Fool pointing out that the studies we use to plan our retirements get all the numbers wildly wrong. And was banned from the site for doing it because it upset people too much to see that, because the corruption is so many layers deep that, you know, that guy said a year ago, I believed in all this stuff. I believed in Taylor Larimore's quotes. And now I see it doesn't work. It's baloney. It's gibberish. Well, when that happens, you don't go down to fair value. You go way below fair value, half of fair value, maybe worse. We were three times fair value on the upside. If we went to one-third fair value on the downside, we'd be down to a P10 level of five or six, which is half of where we are today. So if you're not prepared for a 50% drop, please, you don't belong in stocks. You need to take a year off, learn the basics, and then get back in the stock market. But Artie understands. He's a valuation-informed indexer, or at least he's a believer in the idea. And, he's saying, should I put my money in now? Why not wait a little bit? The answer is, there's no law that says just because on every occasion in the past, this is the fourth time we've done this to ourselves. On the three earlier occasions, yes, we went much, much, much lower. But that doesn't have to happen this time. Who's to say that this time we could have John Bogle step forward and acknowledge all the mistakes? And if he acknowledges it, that could turn it all around. We could start at the Bogleheads board talking about the realities. We could bring up all this research, this academic research of the last 30 years, and educate people and restore faith in the markets and restore faith in our economic leaders and our political leaders. And there's no problem. There's no need for a 50% drop. There's no economic need. It's purely a psychological need. So no one knows whether we're going to do this. It all depends on how long it takes us to go through those five stages of grief. And we're now, it looks to me, in the third stage. And the fifth stage is wonderful. The fifth stage is the golden age of middle-class investing. We've got to get to that fourth stage. We've got to get depressed, which means we've got to get serious. When we seriously look at all the damage we've done to ourselves, we're going to be depressed because this is the greatest loss that we have collectively caused the greatest loss of middle-class wealth in the history of the United States. And, until we acknowledge that, we can't turn it around. But once we acknowledge that we are off to the races. We are now going to see, I believe, after the Depression, when we get to acceptance, we're going to see the greatest growth of middle-class wealth in the history of the United States, if we survive. which who knows? I mean, I believe the odds are we will survive. I put it at 70%. But if we don't acknowledge it, we're all doomed. So this is the point of the post in response to Artie's question. And so I talk a little bit about P10, but then I get to the real guts of it, which goes to what this poster was saying. So let me just read it. That's a fantastic point. Let me see what Artie said. Artie said, here's Artie, just one sentence. Consider this in light of the belief that we are indeed risk averse. This suggests the average risk adverse investor needs to guard more against downside loss than to exploit upside gain. So he's saying, if we're going to have a 50% loss, I don't think I want to be heavily in stocks. That's sort of how I read what he's saying, And I say, that's a fantastic point, Artie. There's a live possibility we are going to see another 50% drop from here. It could be another 5 years before stocks do well. If dark scenarios play out, the media is going to be playing on our fears. We are naturally risk averse. All these factors add up to go with a low stock allocation. The other reality is that a P10 of 12 is a great P10 level. Stocks offer a fantastic long-term value proposition at today's prices. And it is also totally possible that we will not see any of the bad stuff outlined above. We might stabilize at today's P10 level. If we stay in this general neighborhood for 5 years, you want to be heavily in stocks for those 5 years. You would be earning 6% real per year if we stabilized. You could hurt yourself in a serious way by waiting to get back into stocks. Passive investing is not just an investing strategy. It's a way of thinking about stocks. Rational investors are not even speaking the same language. It's a totally different head. I believe that passives should be at zero stocks until they recover from the disease. That's what I think it is, disease, that led them to believe for a time that engaging in long-term timing is not required. Some are going to view that statement as, quote, extreme. The reality is extreme. Passive investing is a bad, bad business. It cripples investors. It makes it impossible for them even to give serious consideration to the rational way to invest. I believe that rationals should not wait to invest in stocks. The numbers are too good today to be totally out. it makes sense not to be totally in. Another big price drop is a live possibility. Those not able to deal with that emotionally should not be in stocks, but those who are emotionally prepared for a 50% drop are taking a serious risk to be totally out of stocks today, in my view. My take is that the circumstances that apply, both on the number side and on the emotion side, justify, in the typical case, a stock allocation of around 50% or 60%. Personal circumstances always need to be taken into account, to be sure. But I think it's worth noting that Shiller is staying out of stocks until the PE10 level drops below 10. I don't agree with Shiller, Ray, this, but I sure do respect his intelligence. There are no final right answers. The numbers inform us. They guide us. They cannot be used as definitive instruction. Those who try to use them that way are making a mistake. I am confident this is so. Now we're getting to the meat of this, the part I really wanted to stress. The real problem here is that we are not accustomed to studying the emotional questions. The emotional questions are 70% of the game, and we barely know how to begin going about taking them into account. If rational investing becomes the dominant model, we will become better at this with time. We cannot rush the process. We do not know everything today. Our state of knowledge is primitive today. The best thing to do is to acknowledge that and not give in to the temptation to fake confidence in our pronouncements as a means of quelling our fears. We do not know it all. We do not know it all. We do not know it all. The emotional reality is to accept that this is so. Pretending otherwise just makes things worse. Pretending otherwise leads to defensiveness and anger and fear and all sorts of bad stuff. It is giving in to the natural human urge to quell legitimate fears reinvesting that got the passive so messed up. We do not know it all. We do not know it all. We do not know it all. PE10 of 12 is a great PE10 level. Stocks offer a great long-term value proposition. We know that much. But we are humans, and we do not know a great deal about how humans should best take advantage of that knowledge in the sorts of circumstances that apply today. The thing to do is to start trying to learn. We should start permitting ourselves to talk about the realities. Just doing that will make us all feel a bit better, I believe. I view it as unnatural to prohibit discussion of the realities. I believe that the ban on honest posting just makes us all more afraid. Once we start thinking about it, and once we learn to accept that some fears really are justified, I think we will be able to see that it's not as bad as it seems at the moment. It seems worse than it is at the moment because we have been letting our fears rule us for a long time, and we know it, and that knowledge unsettles us. We can change that. We have the power. We need to come to trust ourselves enough to permit ourselves to talk about the realities. That's a big step. We should pay less attention to the question, what should my allocation be? There's no good answer to that question until we give our answer to the more important one. Do we care enough about the future of our nation to take action to open up the possibility of honest discussion of the investing realities? That's the one that really matters. If we give the right answer to that one, I think it will all work out in the end. Why wouldn't it? If we give the wrong answer to that one, I think it is fair to say we are pretty much doomed, regardless of what stock allocation we go with. So what does it matter, really? People are thinking about this from the standpoint of self-interest. What should I do? What is best for me? I, me, mine. No. We save our individual selves by saving our economy and our political system. That's where the focus should be for the time being. The stock allocation stuff will work itself out once we gain the courage to do something to save our economic system and our form of government. People are focused too much on the micro and have lost sight of the importance of the macro. That's where I think it is. That's the real stuff. The poster at Bogleheads hit it on the head. He said, you know, I'm a sap. I fell for a bunch of baloney. I fell for a bunch of marketing slogans. Timing doesn't work. Stocks for the long run. Buy and hold. Buy and hold. Timing doesn't work. Did we mention timing doesn't work? Prices don't matter. No. You can invest at any price. Stocks stock's too good, any price does not matter. No, oh no, don't time the market. No. We all fell for a big bunch of baloney. And the baloney is so obvious. Is there any middle class investor who has never purchased a car or a house or a comic book or a banana? Is there one of us who has never looked at prices when buying those things? One? Is there one? Go to a party, go to a picnic, or go to a, you know, cocktail party or a get together or whatever. And what do people talk about? They talk about all sorts of things. They talk about their bosses, you know, and they talk about television shows they like. But one of the things they'll always hear people talking about is prices. Oh, gas prices. Holy moly. Oh, price of milk the other day. And oh, I got a really good deal. I got a really good deal on this big screen television. Half price. They have too many of them. The economy's hurting. I got a really good deal. My vacation place, price is better this year. Oh, that's interesting. We care about price. But not when it comes to stocks. Oh, no. With stocks, oh, no. Buy and hold. Stay the course. Timing doesn't work. Stocks for the long run. Passive investing. That might work. Maybe it'll work not to pay attention to. Stocks are the things we spend more money on over the course of a lifetime than any other thing we buy. Most of us. So let's just forget. Let's just forget that we care about price on every other thing we buy. And on stocks, let's just give it a ride. Throw the dice. Maybe it'll work. It's never worked before. There's no way the human mind could imagine how it could work. But hey, you never know. You never know. Those safe withdrawal studies, they say that millions of retirements, they have a 30% chance of working out. So they might work out. It's nothing wrong with telling people it's safe because there's always that chance that the retirement might not go bust. So we can't correct those studies. That would hurt people's feelings. As long as there's a chance, if there's one, you know, even a 1 in 10 chance, we shouldn't be correcting it because that would hurt the feelings of the authors of those studies. I'm sure of it because that would, then people would know that they caused millions of people to suffer one of the worst life setbacks imaginable. So we don't want to do that. That's what it's all about. We're all involved in this. We're involved in all the psychological stuff, the denial, the anger, all the bargaining, all this, you know. I mean, I'm tempted to say gibberish, but it's not gibberish. It's something we have to go through. But it's, you know, I'd like to speed it up a bit. I'd like to get to acceptance because there's so much wonderful stuff we can do when we get to acceptance. So we do have to work through it. It's real. I don't want to mock it entirely, but I want to ridicule it to the extent necessary, so that people will start talking about the real stuff. And the real stuff is, you know, everybody's hitting on Obama, and I, you know, nowadays, and I don't take either side really. I certainly don't think these stimulus plans are going to do anything for the economy. I don't think they're designed to do anything for the economy. They're stimulus plans. They're political vehicles. That's all. And if the Republicans were in, they'd be doing the same thing. It's not a question of partisan. You know, they obviously it would go to different groups, different interest groups, but it's about dividing up money and you know, that's what politics is. You know, we could talk about the realities of politics instead of the realities of stock investing. But, you know, there's a saying people have, it's the worst political system of all except for all the others. Well, maybe that's true of our stock market. Maybe that's the answer to that fellow's question. Should you stay in stocks? You now accept that it's corrupt. The evidence is just too much. Obviously, all the baloney doesn't work. You know, you've lost your hopes for retirement. You were behind before, and now it's hopeless. And all your friends have lost. So what do you do? Well, you can get out if you want. But I sure don't think that's the right thing to do. I mean, I think it's right to get out. If you believe in passive investing, I believe you should get out until you deal with that disease. And passive investing is not an investing theory, it's a disease. It's a way of thinking which guarantees bad results in the long run. Because if you don't pay attention to price, you don't know the first thing about stock investing. That's the first rule. And anyone who tells you that ignoring price can work, in Rob Bennett's opinion, does not know the first thing about investing. Maybe they know the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, and 11th. Maybe they can talk about the Sharpe ratio until they're blue in the face. Maybe. I know a lot of people who can. But if they don't accept that you need to change your stock allocation when prices go to insanely dangerous levels, Rob Bennett says they don't know the first thing about investing. And you can quote me. This question came up at the Goon Central yesterday. They were, they're whatever. I don't know. They're some idiotic discussion, but Drip Guy comes in, he makes some kind of comment about it. He says, I have the feeling, Rob, you're out to change the leadership of some of these boards. I said, oh, really? I wonder how you got that idea, Drip Guy. I wonder how that, you know what? Since you brought it up, I'm thinking it over. And, a change of leadership might be a good idea. Yeah, I could see that. Since the current leadership has banned honest posting on retirement at retire early boards, maybe a change in leadership would be in order. Maybe so. And since the current leadership has banned discussion of valuation-informed indexing at boards dealing with Bogle's investing ideas, and Bogle is the lead figure in the world advocating indexing. Since they're dragging Bogle's name through the mud on a daily basis by keeping this ban in effect, maybe a change in leadership would actually be in order. Yeah, we might want to think that one over a little bit. Is the stock market corrupt? Yeah, you betcha it's corrupt. It's corrupt from the top to the middle to the bottom. Should you get out permanently? Well, if you want to add 10 years to the amount of time it's going to take you to retire, that would be a smart way to do it. The stock market is your best hope for achieving financial freedom. So if you say, well, it's corrupt, I'm out. See, all these questions are emotional questions. Every question, the stock market is 70% emotional, 30% intellectual. And what we've done during the passive investing era is we've spent all our time on the intellectual questions because we believe in it. Well, we don't believe in it. Because we pretend to believe in an efficient market, all of the emotional questions have been ruled out of order. Because if emotions exist, the market can't be efficient. So that makes the whole system collapse. To acknowledge the realities causes the passive investing system to crumble to the ground. So we pretend that we live in an imaginary world where the market is efficient and where the market is not corrupt. Because corruption is not efficiency. It's the opposite. Efficiency means the price is right. It means you can put your money in. But corruption means you can't. So, do you get out? Name of the podcast is, you've concluded that the stock market is corrupt. Should you get out? That's what people are asking. The answer to the question is, the human race is corrupt. Are you going to get out? Well, you can. You know, people have done it. They say, yeah, I'm getting out. I don't recommend it. We're all going to miss you. When you discover that the human, and we all do discover this, when you discover that the human race is corrupt, what do? You go off and be a hermit? You live in a cave? That's a juvenile response to the problem. I'll go up in my room and I'll shut the door and I'll close the blinds and I'll cry. I'm not mocking the poster who asked that question. He's asking an important question. But what I'm mocking that response. That's not the way to go. Well, what is the way to go? Do you pretend that you believe in passive investing a little longer? Do you put up your do you increase your list of 675 experts who say timing is impossible and get it up to 812? That's just more juvenile. You know, two extremes. Totally naive to believe in passive investing. Totally cynical to get out. Two extremes. What's the healthy middle? The healthy middle is, President Reagan had a saying. I mean, I picked these things up, and I love this saying. He said, trust but verify. You know, he was going to meet Gorbachev about something, and they said, you know, Gorbachev says they're not planning, they don't have any missiles aimed at us. Well, why are you checking? He already told you they don't have any. He said, Gorbachev's my good friend. You know, I'm going there to have negotiations. He's a good man. But, I believe him. I trust him. But I'm just going to check it out all the same. You know, I've been around the block a few times. I'm going to check it out all the same. Trust but verify. You get out of stocks and you delay your retirement by 10 years. So don't do that. The human race is corrupt. Passive investing doesn't work. Sorry. But you don't give up. You don't walk away from the table of life. You roll up your sleeves and you say, if it's corrupt, and if I've got to be in it to be able to accumulate some wealth in my lifetime, and it's corrupt, it's run. The stock market. Oh, did you know? Stock market is run. Did you know what it's run by? Humans. Yuck. Those ugly, nasty, creepy, smelly, bad dressing. Ah, humans. Yuck. Did you know? Yeah, well, it's true. It's run by humans. But they're the same ones, those humans, they're the same ones that, you know, built the spaceships that took us to the moon and, you know, invented indoor plumbing, figure that one out, and Novocaine, you know, anesthesia when they cut you open, Beatle lyrics, the humans. Who would ever think that the little stinkers would do this cool stuff too? So it's the humans who make it possible to achieve financial freedom early. The corrupt ones. Let's just call them the corrupt ones, because that's what we're talking about. Humans. The emotionally mature, the emotionally balanced approach to stock investing is to understand that, yes, there is corruption in the stock market. There always has been. Passive investing never made a lick of sense. But you got to be in it. You can't walk away from the game. So what do? There's a tool I can tell you about. If you've listened to earlier podcasts, you should know what it is. It's called PE10. Guess what it tells you? I often say, well, PE10 tells you about valuations. It tells you about what the... It tells you about more than... You know, valuations means a lot. Valuations is emotions. That's where valuations come from. And what do emotions mean? Another word for emotions is corruption. Because we are, by nature, corrupt. We are. But we're also, by nature, community animals. We are political animals. We care about what our friends and neighbors think of us. And so we pull that corruption in. We see a car we like on the street, and there's a little voice, you know, they used to call it the devil, that says, steal it. Steal the little red Corvette. But then there's another voice that says, well, if you steal it, you can't live in the neighborhood anymore because somebody's going to catch you. And the neighbors are going to put you in jail, so don't steal it. And what we need to have a non-corrupt market, a relatively non-corrupt market again, is to have those voices speaking up. That's called caring about your fellow community members. And there are times when those voices become strong, the voices of integrity. We have them in our community. And there are times when those voices become weak, when the corrupt voices gain dominance. And there's a PE10 level associated with that. When corruption is high, the PE10 level is high. Stocks were selling for 3 times fair value in January of 2000. That means when you wrote a check out to buy an index fund and you wrote a check for $1,000, you handed over an asset worth $1,000 and you got in return an asset worth $350. And people were doing it all over the country and all kinds of quote-unquote experts were cheering them on. I thought about this yesterday. My boy had a tryout, you know, for Little League. And the mothers and fathers, their boys are running or whatever they're doing, and they're cheering them on, you know. Keep at it, you know. Run harder, you know. You got it. We're cheering them on to do good. To do good things. Why do we do that? Why is it people cheer at baseball games? Because we know that the human voice has an effect on people. People need to hear that. It makes a difference. You know, the home team wins in basketball. In baseball, the stadiums are shaped differently, so they shape it to favor the home team. But in basketball, it's the same court. But when they're at home, they've got all these people shouting, you're great, you're great, you're going to do it, you can do it, hang in there. And applauding you, and it makes a difference. It gets you up. Investing is the only field I know in where we're always trying to shout down the behavior we should want to see. When prices are insane, we should be cheering people for selling stocks because that's what will bring prices down again. That's what will bring corruption down again. And instead, all the experts are saying, oh, don't, no. Stay with that same stock allocation. That's the right thing. You gotta stick with it. Lose all your retirement money. Don't correct the studies. Oh, no. Never give accurate information. Never. Why? Why do we cheer corruption? Why do we cheer incompetence? Why do we cheer recklessness? Well, it's because we're in on the corruption. This is what happened with this guy. You know, I mentioned this thread where I was telling the personal finance bloggers how investing works, so that they can tell their readers. And the owner takes the whole thread down. Why? You look at his blog, he's got a great blog. He obviously cares about his readers. But if you look close, you find out, oh, he's had interviews with Scott Burns. He's had articles about Bill Bernstein. He's in on it. He doesn't want to admit that he encouraged this dangerous, reckless approach called passive investing. So he takes the whole thread down so nobody else can tell the truth about stock investing so that he doesn't look so bad for not having told it himself for so many years. That's the way to proceed? You know, is he corrupt? You know, yes and no. He's not making any money from it. I mean, maybe he's making a tiny bit with a blog. He's not making millions. And he clearly loves his readers. You know, anybody that produces that much material is doing it with essentially good motives. But I don't doubt that he's put his own money in. And again, is that a sign of corruption or a sign of a lack of corruption? Well, it's a sign that he's sincere. It's a sign that he's giving advice to others, that he follows himself. But it means he's corrupt against himself. He's hurting himself. He himself bought into this nonsense that prices don't matter. So what greater form of corruption is there than corruption against the self? That's the, you know, that's what it's all about in investing. We're all bought off, and we're seeing these discussions. It got a lot of play on the internet. There was a some sort of interview with Jim Cramer, the Mad Money guy, and Stewart. Is it John Stewart? Not sure I know the guy's first name. I think his name is Stewart. He's a comedian, but he was sort of being serious in this interview with Cramer, and you know, he was taking a populist sort of line. And to some extent, I liked it, and to some extent, I didn't. He made some good points. The best point he made was he was talking about. See, what I didn't like is he was trying to portray it as Cramer is corrupt and CNBC is corrupt and you can't trust anything in the market. It was sort of the same. It was the same general line as this other guy is saying. It's all corrupt. And that's, you know, it's certainly true that it is corrupt. It's corrupt beyond anyone's imagination. When you've reached a point where you can't report honestly what the historical data says about safe withdrawal rates, you're talking about a corruption so deep that it's cannot be measured. It's thoroughly corrupt. But what I don't like is when they start pointing the finger at a small group. You know, these are the bankers are corrupt, or you know, the mutual funds are corrupt, or whatever it happens to be. Like, we have a system of checks and balances. We have a press. You know, I'm a journalist. This is my background. So if they're all corrupt, why hasn't the press reported on it? Why didn't the press warn us? Well, I have firsthand experience. I wrote to many, many media institutions to tell them about the errors in the safe withdrawal rate studies that we discovered in the retire early community 7 years ago. I always remember the response I got back from a reporter at USA Today. Not for us. Not for us. We don't report the realities of stock investing. No, 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 no. We don't have any readers that care about their retirement plan surviving. We don't have any business people reading our newspaper. Oh, no. No. USA Today. Not for us. Why would it be not for us? The truth is, it's just what Scott Burns told us. He you know, Scott Burns wrote about this in his column back several years ago, July 2005. He said, the reason no one's writing about the New School Safe Withdrawal Rate studies is that it is, quote, information most people don't want to hear. If USA Today wrote about the realities of safe withdrawal rates, the editors of the publication would be stoned in the public square. At least they would have been back at the time I was asking them to run the story. Now today, maybe not. Maybe they'd be applauded today. I like to think so. But the corruption, it's not just these. Obviously, the people in response, and the people who are being paid millions of dollars to tell us the story, they're in higher positions of responsibility for sure. But they get away with it because we want them to get away with it. They're, you know, you can look at it from our angle and say, why don't they tell us the truth about stock investing? Don't they know our retirements are going to go under? They can look at it as, what am I supposed to do? I have a multi-million dollar salary and I'm going to give it all up because I've got some ethical notion in my head. I've got to tell the truth about stock investing and I'm going to give it all up. They're just going to get somebody else in to do the same thing. You can't run a business telling the truth about stock investing. People have tried it. Look what happened to them. When we want to know the truth, they will tell us the truth. That's the answer. When we want to know the truth, they will tell us the truth. And of course, the question is, have we suffered enough yet that we want to know the truth? Yes or no? If the answer is yes, it's over. Fold the tents on this black era. But the fact that the guy took down the thread at the whatever it was called, Money Blog Network Forums, you know, the fact that he took down the threat and nobody complained indicates that we're not quite ready to take the tents down. We've still got a ways to go. But the fact that so many people are talking about corruption is a positive sign. You know, Cramer, this guy, Jim Cramer, I saw a interview with him from an earlier time, and he was going through all this trickery that he engaged in at his hedge fund. And it, you know, and they were pointing it out at Bogleheads, and they were sort of sickened by it, and I can understand why they were sickened by it. It is sort of sickening. But do they ever ask the question, oh, is this how we keep the market efficient? All this trickery? Why didn't they tell us this was going on? Did they not know? Could they not imagine? Did they not have any contacts? Do the experts who endorse passive investing not know this sort of thing goes on? Are they shocked? You didn't have to be paying a whole bunch of attention to know it, because I'm some hobbit. I know nothing. I haven't studied investing in school. I haven't managed any funds. How did I figure it out? And how did all the others figure it out? People have been talking about this for 30 years. They've been ignored for 30 years, but they've been talking about it. You can link to them on the internet. You can check it out. Now, there was a... I'll just give brief reference to this, but there was a thread the other day at Bogleheads using PE10 in a practical way, and somebody brought up my name. They said, oh, turns out that Hocus was right. Amazing. Grey Wolf said that. And, you know, Drip Guy is very upset. Drip Guy is one of the lead goons over at Goon Central. He's very upset. They're going to talk about valuation-informed indexing. No, can't allow that. He's very upset. I personally feel it is inappropriate to encourage any discussion of a poster who has been banned, not only here, but also at 14 other finance boards. And, you know, he makes the number up, but I've been banned at half a dozen at any rate. And who was the very reason this board was founded, to escape him. And that's true. Bogleheads.org was founded to escape Rob Bennett because I told the truth about safe withdrawal rates. And they found it. They tried to get Honest Posting banned at Vanguard Diehards. And Vanguard Diehards was owned by Morningstar.com. Morningstar.com was not willing at the time to ban Honest Posting. And so the leaders of Bogleheads.org founded their own board and encouraged all their followers to leave Morningstar so that they could escape me. That is a true statement. Drip Guy is telling the truth in that statement. Which is incredible. Is that not corruption? That you would want to escape a board solely because the owners of the board permit Honest Posting on the subject matter of the board? Is that not corruption? You see, they're going to, what they do is, you know, they put this threat up and they say, oh, Jim Cramer's this horrible, he should go to jail, he's bad, bad, bad man. Bernie Madoff, bad, bad, bad man. You know, is John Bogle a bad man? Is Mel Lindauer a bad man? Is Taylor Larimore a bad man? Is Drip Guy a bad man? Is John Graney a bad man? Is Bill Scholler a bad man? Who is responsible for more busted retirements? Jim Cramer, who a lot of people look at as an entertainment act, or John Bogle, who a lot of people take seriously, who a lot of people think is looking out for their interest, and who is in many ways looking out for their interest? John Bogle caused more busted retirements. I don't say deliberately so, but he saw the campaign of terror going on at the Vanguard Diehards. Did he ever think of picking up the telephone and calling Morningstar.com and saying, what is going on here? This board has my name on it. Please fix. And if he didn't pick up the telephone, why didn't he pick up the telephone? And, you know, the answer is the same. It's more or less the same answer as the answer, why didn't you sell stocks? When you knew somewhere in your heart that the money didn't come from nowhere. When we saw these 20%, 30% gains in the 1990s, that something was up, that the fix was in, that the market was corrupt, that we had allowed ourselves to be tricked, that we had deliberately tricked ourselves, and that we were blocking the realities from our consciousness. And when that happened, did you act? And if you didn't act, how can you expect John Bogle to act? And if John Bogle didn't act, how can you expect Jim Cramer to act? You know, every situation isn't exactly the same, but the drivers are very similar. We don't know because we don't want to know. We don't study the details because we don't want to study the details. We don't correct the analytically invalid studies because if we correct the analytically invalid studies, it pulls a thread that causes the whole thing to fall apart. And we don't want it. So, Drip Guy, now, Drip Guy goes into this thing, and it's funny because when did he put this up? Drip Guy put this up Sunday, March 15th, 12 noon, basically, 11:58. It's the last post on the thread. So nobody responds. Nobody responds. Now, not everybody there knows, but he's got a link there to the Goon Central Board so they can read. There are thousands of threads at the Goon Central Board. They can read about the abusive posting. They can read about the death threats. They can read about the board bannings. And this is a group talking in another thread about corruption. Is the market corrupt? Is the bogleheads.org board corrupt? Yes. Is the Vanguard diehards board corrupt? Yes. Is the retire early community corrupt? Yes. Is the indexing community corrupt? Yes. Is there a lot of wonderful stuff at these boards? Yes. Is the stock market corrupt? Yes. Is there a lot of wonderful things about stocks? Yes. Are humans corrupt? Yes. Are humans wonderful? Yes. So what do you do? Do you kill yourself because you're a human and you're corrupt? No. You accept it. You accept it, that it's a reality, and you fight it. And this is what I was saying to Artie. I was saying, look, Artie, we got to fight this thing, and we got to stop talking about this gibberish. You know, every time I make these points, the room gets quiet. People don't want to talk about it. This has been going on for 7 years. People don't want to talk about it. Why did these things happen? Nobody wants to know. Nobody wants to talk. See no evil, hear no evil, say no evil. But if we don't talk, it doesn't change, does it? If we don't talk, it doesn't change. That's how we achieve change in this world. We talk, we come to conclusions, we resolve to act, and then things start to get better. But if we're going to talk, we're going to talk about some very dark things, very dark things. Friend turning against friend. Layers of deception 1,000 miles deep. Layers of intimidation 1,000 miles deep. Discussion board communities burned to the ground because big shots couldn't admit errors. These are realities. I don't bring them up to hurt people. I bring them up because they are realities and because the only way to the other side of the mountain is through all the ugliness, through all the mess. I don't dwell on these things. I don't want to dwell on them. I wish they could all be put aside. But they can all be put aside in 5 minutes if we just drive the truck through. But they'll never be put aside so long as we keep having the bodies being piled up. Every day that John Graney's study remains at the internet uncorrected is a day when hundreds of new people are exposed to demonstrably false claims on safe withdrawal rates. I put up the post showing that study gets all the numbers wrong back on May 13th, 2002. Today is March 16th, 2009. The study is not corrected to this day. John Bogle knows about it. Bill Bernstein knows about it. Scott Burns knows about it. Larry Swedrow knows about it. Rick Ferry knows about it. Michael Kitsis knows about it. Entire board communities know about it. Nobody responded to the Drip Guy post. Nobody said Drip Guy's right. I suppose that's a good sign. In the old days, you would have had, 15 thugs jumping on, cheering him on, laughing, putting up their, the standard thing they used to do when I'd put up a post explaining how many retirements are going to go bust as a result of these false claims. They put up a line of Z's. You know, oh, I'm sleeping. The hocus puts me to sleep. Talking about busted retirements puts me to sleep. Nobody put up any Z line in the response to Drip Guy's intimidation post. That's what it is. He's trying to intimidate. He's saying, don't start talking about valuation informed indexing because I have a bunch of goons that works with me at this discussion board owned by John Graney, and we will come after you. We will come after you, we have a proven track record of burning discussion board communities to the ground, so don't mess. Well, nobody posted in his support. That's a good sign. That's a sign that people are getting a little fed up with the corruption. But nobody posted against Drip Guy either. Nobody took his post down. Why is it? He has a post and he links to Goon Central, where there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of intimidation threats. Every kind of ugly tactic known to the internet in its pure form. And Mel Lindauer sees nothing wrong with this. Taylor Larimore, the gentleman, sees nothing wrong with this. Larry Swedrow, author of books on investing, sees nothing wrong with this. He participates at this board community. Rick Ferry sees nothing wrong with it. Bill Bernstein sees nothing wrong with it. Money Magazine, linked to this discussion board community, said it was a fine resource. They see nothing wrong with it. I told Money Magazine the story. I sent them an email, but they've done nothing with it. They see nothing wrong with this. Is the stock market corrupt? Yes. It's corrupt beyond your wildest dreams, your wildest nightmares. It couldn't possibly be more corrupt. Do you have to be in stocks to fund a middle-class retirement? I think so, unless you were born independently wealthy. So what do we have to do? We have to work together to fix it. And we fix it. We have a system in place in this country. We have something called free speech. Well, what if we allowed free speech on the internet on investing issues? Consider the possibilities. Wow. We had a guy, the first thread that I put up back in May 13th, 2002. John Walter Russell, researched the question within 6 days, within the first week. And he showed that he did a sensitivity study. It's something statisticians use to show whether studies stand up to scrutiny. And the sensitivity numbers were awful, saying, you can't use these numbers. It's nonsense. Larry Swedrow has said it's garbage in, garbage out. The studies that all of us use to plan our retirements, all financial planners use these studies, they're all garbage in, garbage out. And John Walter Russell showed this. Day 6 of our discussion, 7 years ago. And a poster came up. I never even heard of the guy before. Wasn't a regular. Just an ordinary guy at Motley Fool. And he says, anyone who would use a study with this kind of sensitivity number is out of his or her freaking mind. Are you crazy, you people? Just an ordinary guy. So, now, of course, he's right. But why have none of the experts told us that? Why does it take some guy on the internet to tell us that? Why is it when you go to school for 20 years, you lose your common sense that we should be reporting the retirement numbers accurately? It's because when you go to school for 20 years, you make $1 million a year telling people this gibberish. That's why. Now, that is corrupt. You have to be careful, though. It doesn't mean that I aim for emotional balance. And that means I've got to tell you both sides. I'm not this Stewart guy that, wants to point fingers and say bad, bad, bad. It is bad that we give inaccurate numbers. But that doesn't mean that those people don't also do good things. It doesn't mean that those people want to destroy us. A lot of them, I get the feeling, a lot of them would love to tell the truth about stock investing. They'd love it. But they need a signal from us that we will tolerate it. If they do, that they won't lose their million-dollar jobs. They want to know that they can tell the truth about stock investing and not be made to pay a financial price for it. That's what they want, I believe. Can we do it? I think Motley Fool. You know, I wrote Motley Fool about the death threats at you know, when I posted the numbers on the retirement studies. And Motley Fool's, and I said, can you do something about this? This guy's destroying. I've spent years of my life building up this board. This guy's destroying it. The author of one of the old school studies. He's burning the board to the ground. Can you do something, please? Thousands of people have built this board. Can you do something? And the guy responsible for site administration said, Rob, you make a lot of good points. Thoughtful post. Thoughtful email. Rob, it would be ideal. That was what he said. It would be ideal if he allowed honest posting. I said, yes, yes, I see your point. It would be ideal. It would be. Because then all my friends wouldn't suffer busted retirements. That would be ideal. You're right. Yes. It would be ideal. See, it would be ideal. It would be ideal if Bogleheads allowed honest posting. It'd be ideal if Vanguard Diehards allowed honest posting. But how's it going to happen? If we don't do something about it, we've got a system where there's money that changes hands. And in order to make that money, you've got to market. And market is always emotional. Talk to any marketer and they'll tell you the idea of marketing is to hit the emotional hot buttons. And when stocks are selling at insane prices, the emotional hot button is to reassure people that that's okay, that they don't need to sell, that passive can work. All of the emotion argues in favor of passive investing. It's the worst investing strategy ever developed by mortal man, but it's got a great emotional punch. I think we've reached a point where we can't go on. We can't go on. We can't have middle-class people putting their retirement money in stocks and having them lose all their money. We've got to change the system. And changing the system means we've got to acknowledge that what common sense tells us is true. Prices matter. You do need to change your stock allocation in response to wild price changes. Long-term timing does work, just as the historical data dating back to 1870 shows. It always has. We need to tell people. But how do we do it? Are we going to admit that we're all corrupt? Are we going to admit that the blogs that have been pushing passive investing have been getting it wrong all these years? Are we going to admit that all the books that push passive investing have gotten it wrong all these years? Are we going to admit that all the experts have gotten it wrong? Are we going to admit that all the retirement studies have gotten it wrong? I hope so. Because the only alternative I see is we go over a cliff. We can't restore faith in our economic and political system unless we can start telling the truth about what we have done together. It wasn't bad guys who did this. It was all of us. Bad guys, bad gals, good guys, good gals. Most of them a mix of good and bad. Because that's humans. We have to scare ourselves to death because, see, the market doesn't care about any of this. The market just believes in the reality principle. That's what a market is. Market ultimately reflects the reality principle. So the market's going to get prices down to where they need to be, however it has to be done. If we could have acknowledged the realities, it could have been done in a nice, sweet way. But we failed that test. So it had to be done in the way in which was done. And if we can acknowledge it, we can turn it around. We can use all the ingenuity that has been put into making excuses for passive investing for 30 years now, and we can put it into learning how investing works in the real world. We can do that, not them. Forget them. We can do that. We have the power. There is no them. The market is us. So forget about what your stock allocation should be. It doesn't matter. Whatever stock allocation you go with, if the economy goes over a cliff, our political system's going to go over a cliff. There's a good chance. If our political system goes over a cliff, you're cooked. doesn't matter whether you're 10% or 90%. You're cooked. It's over. Game over. Fix the problem. We all need to get to work fixing the real problem. When we are able to talk about stock investing honestly, and the internet is where we do that today, that's where the community meets today, when we can open up the possibility of honest discussion of the investing realities on the internet, we can restore faith in the market, in our economic system, and in the U.S. form of government. I don't see any other way to get there. I sincerely don't. If you think different, if you see another way, please send me an email. Go to the Contact Rob button at the left side of every page at PassionSaving.com and let me know. If I've got it wrong, I'd be grateful if you'd set me straight. If you think I got it right, I'd be grateful if you tell me that. I can always use a little encouragement. We all need that. We all need that in these dark days, in these days of uncertainty, in these days of fear, in these days of discovering the corruption that's been eating us alive for 30 years, the passive investing era. Good luck. Good luck with your efforts to work up the courage to bring the dark days to an end.